In these two decades, we have witnessed a resurgence of Jewish education and scholarship, the emergence of American Jewry as the mainstay of diaspora Jewry, and an increase in the complexities and sensitivities of U.S.-Israeli relations, a subject that you have given much thought to. And there have also been swift changes in the character of the urban-centered national Jewish community, which are, of course, so vitally reflected in synagogue life. You have been in the mainstream of these seminal movements these past 20 years, providing clear-sighted analyses, moral leadership, and a passionate commitment to Jewish scholarship. For Jews, this is surely not a time for exaltation, but neither is it a time for a defeatist Kaddish. It is a time for measuring up to responsibility. Sigmund Freud once defined a dream as an extension of reality. But for us, as the historical drama of Jewish life emphasizes, reality is an extension of the dream, a vision, a wrestling with the angel to yield its blessing. We face now the necessity to reinforce the foundations of Jewish life, and we must respond with clear-sighted affirmation. This, Dan, is the meaning for us of your 20th anniversary tonight.
Rabbi Dan, after these three eloquent tributes, I don't know what else I can say. Why don't you come up here and speak for yourself?
I'm afraid that any eloquence that I may have has deserted me tonight. I'm grateful for the warmth of friendship and the feeling that brought you all here. I'm grateful for your vote of life tenure. Really, though, after 20 years of living together, it's about time we made it legal. I talked some years ago, actually, with a young couple that had lived together for a number of years before they were married. And I remember asking them, did the ceremony make any difference? And they said no. And then the young man, after 10 or 15 seconds, said, no, but you know, there really was a sense of relief that we'd finally said I do to each other. I'm grateful for your confidence in me. And I pledge to you all the powers that I possess and all the energy that I possess in meeting my responsibilities as your rabbi. I'm particularly grateful to Bishop Burt, to Rabbi Lelyveld, Dr. Bernstein, for taking the time from very busy lives to share this simcha with me and with us. Bishop Burt is one of the catalysts for good in our community. A man of incredible energy. I've seen him wide awake, effective at 7:30 in the morning, and equally effective and equally wide awake at midnight. He's a man who has not only shouldered the burdens of a great communion, but has found the time to lend his prophetic vision, skill, his commitments to all of the causes of concern, community, which affect us. I cherish the fact that in these last 10 years we have become friends. His good humor, his vitality have encouraged me when inevitably the times get tough and we've had some frustrations. I need not say anything about the respect and admiration that Rabbi Lelieveld enjoys throughout the Jewish world. He's a man of proven moral courage, great wisdom, fine judgment. He's a man, as you saw tonight, of infinite warmth and good spirits. The respect in which all of us who are his colleagues hold him is testified to by the office he now holds as president of the Central Conference of American Rabbis, an office which my father once held and cherished. And I think this too ought to be said tonight here. When I came to Cleveland and when he came to Cleveland, each of us separately, I think, made the same resolution. It's very easy when two large congregations coexist in a town for the congregation and or the rabbis to be competitive and to be envious. And I know that each of us made the resolution that we were going to live together easily and openly. We have. I think that's been to the good of the community, and I know that it's the only way either of us could have performed our ministries. Dr. Bernstein came here tonight as an act of personal friendship. By the chance of dating and of graduation, I owe my allegiance to a college a few miles down the river from his. Before we met each other on the sands and under the sun of a Caribbean island on a vacation, I knew of his reputation as one of the fine political scientists of our age, as one of the scholars who lend his energies and his skill to the concerns of Jewish life, active survival concerns of Jewish life. When Adele and I were fortunate enough to meet Sheva and Marver, we learned that they were not only brilliant people, but charming people. The chemistry was right. And lying together under the sun and in that sand, we began to talk of all the things which we shared in common. We found that we shared so many interests, and over the years, thank God, we've been able to find other beaches and other places to renew our friendship. And I don't know really how to thank Dr. Bernstein for coming, except perhaps to quote him the old Yiddish proverb, which is to the effect that friends are for the joys as well as the sorrows. I want to mention tonight four men. And in mentioning them, I am in a sense trying to single out all of you. The congregation is no more than the devotion, the dedication, the determination of its membership. In the 20 years that I've been here, four men have served as presidents of the congregation: Abe Luntz, Bert Krongold, Bud Eisner, and Jim Rich. And each of them have served not simply as leaders, but as men who gave their full energies to make our congregation worthy in their years of the wonderful tradition which we've all inherited. Abe Luntz invited me to returned to Cleveland and supported me with encouragement during those first tense and anxious months. Bert Krongold encouraged me always. I often thought of him as a second father. He was a man with whom I was able to talk out the possibilities of building this branch. I think in our conversations together, the first idea for this very special way of handling the future of our temple came into focus. But Eisner brought to his years of leadership not only great ability, but personal warmth and charm. He's a lifelong friend, and he continues to bring to the congregation the same devotion, the same almost full-time service that he showed in the years when he was really on our full-time staff. And Jim Rich, another old friend, a man of judgment, decision, great warmth, a man who has been devoted to all aspects of temple life and who leads it now with such competence. To these four men and to their wives and to all of you, my thanks for having made my 20 years here, these first 20 years, such a joy. You've understood a great deal of what a rabbi ought to do. And you freed me from the purely ceremonial, the purely decorative roles, and allowed me to do it. The failures are mine, not yours. And I'm grateful for the friendship and the support that you brought. I sense one man standing here tonight, spirit, my father, my rabbi. My dad often quoted a proverb which was a favorite of his father, my grandfather. It's to the effect of Ben Kivrei Davihu. A son is as the knee of his father. And the question then is, why of all the parts of the body, of all the joints of the body, is the knee chosen out to be the symbol of this relationship? The traditional answer is that the knee is the one joint of the body which can raise or lower a person. That what a son does, in a sense, reflects on the respect and the accomplishments of the father. And I've always been conscious of the fact, though I've tried to walk my own way according to my own rabbinic understanding and according to the needs of our new time, tried always to walk in a way where I would in no way diminish the remarkable achievements of my father. I'm grateful that my mother could be here tonight. Her love, of course, nurtured me. And my brother and I were, believe it or not, all 12 feet something of us were once held in her arms and encouraged and taught something of human relationships, taught to have pride in ourselves and confidence in our future, and taught also to see the future with great good humor and without being too serious about it, about ourselves. I'm most of all, of course, grateful to God for having brought Adele into my life. When I completed my volume of A History of Judaism, I dedicated it to her and quoted in the dedication an inscription from the Wisdom of Ben Serach, which reads that a good wife means a good life. She is a gift from God to the man who fears him. Now, Del knows that one of the few folk pieties which I still half believe, which once circulated in our community, is that one of God's occupations in heaven is to be a shadchan, to arrange marriages. And I've always felt, whenever I had doubts, days were shadowy, I'd only look at Del and at our children and to be convinced that God was there and all would be right. I look on this moment as a halfway point. 20 years out, the children of Israel were halfway between Egypt and the Promised Land. I was 28 when I came to this congregation. 20 years from now, I'll be 68, and Ganug is Ganug. It's a time to look back, to look ahead. These last years have been, the last 20 years have been remarkably chock full years, chock full of change. They saw Camelot and Vietnam, the Huff riots, the campus riots, the drug culture, Watergate, war here, there, and almost everywhere in our world, little wars, three Arab-Israel, not so little wars. And if the past is a prelude, if we can extrapolate from the past, and I think we can, the one thing that is certain is that the next 20 years will not be years of calmness and security. They'll not be predictable. We're going to face crisis. We'll probably face many crises. There'll be years in which all of us will need to come here for encouragement, for support, to sense the long history of our people. It's not going to end. Am Yisrael Chai. And we're going to come here, I think, time and again to re-examine our values. They're always being questioned in our age, and we need to know that the sense of personal dignity, the sense of family, the sense of community, the commitment to moral concerns which we share is indeed fitting and proper and shared by others, that we're not alone. There is every reason in these next 20 years to sustain and to support and to encourage synagogue life. This congregation, all congregations. And again, if the past is in any way a prelude to the future, we can be sure that there will be those who will suggest to us simple nostrums, panaceas, men on white horse, evangelists with simple notions. And there are none. As you know, as you well know, those of you who listen to me year in and year out, I am not a romantic, and I am not I don't believe in simple answers. I prize our tradition's devotion to learning, to finding out the facts, to being realistic about what can be accomplished. I don't believe in riding out to commit oneself to all that is new simply because it's new. I don't believe I'm a hidebound man. I try not to be, but I believe that change ought to come deliberately, that judgment and wisdom are sometimes much more important than passion and urgency. And in part, this building is a tribute to your understanding of that approach. Where it was general to pick up and leave behind and build totally anew, we built a branch and maintained our grand main temple. Where many congregations got so tired of the decorum and the cathedral quality of worship, which had been appropriate in one age but was not necessarily in ours, intend to scrap the prayer book and scrap all that was formal and go to something called a creative service on every occasion. We've warmed up our service, and we didn't build an organ into this building, but we did build here warmth, and we have begun to sing and to participate together. We kept much that was formal in our prayer book. I pledge you this, that insofar as we seek to understand together the problems that face us as Jews, as Americans, as worldlings, no problem, however difficult, will be blinked at or swept under the rug simply because it's difficult. I pledge to you this, that for those of you who seriously want to approach a living faith, or seriously want to wrestle with the problems of principle and value in your lives, what we do here will be of concern, and our door will always be open. I can't paint a rosy picture for you. These have been good times. It was a brilliant day today. The sky was blue, the sun was bright, the air was clear. The finances of the temple, as you heard, are in good order. Our debt is about to be paid. We have a wonderful staff, a sound membership. But I must also say to you, as you well know, that inflation is sapping the foundations of all institutional life in America, not simply synagogue life. That family life is becoming increasingly fragile. That given the heterogeneity of culture today and the mobility of our society, we can no longer count, you know, that inevitably another generation will come behind. Rabbi Lelieveld reminded us all quite properly that the synagogue is not an end in itself, but a tool, a means to a greater commitment and greater understanding of all that Judaism stands for. But we must be prepared, all of us who are devoted to a synagogue, as we are devoted to this congregation, to use wisdom and judgment and energy to meet the inevitable crises of tomorrow. They will be met. Hopefully, when we stand here some years from now, render account of our stewardship, we will be proud in the judgment and the commitments that we have made. Now, in our tradition, as you know, the deed is, if anything, more important than the word. I tried to think how I could show you tonight what I feel, my gratitude, my commitment. Those of you who traveled with Adele and with me to London some weeks ago know that we visited there a little gemeza in the Westminster Synagogue. Nearly 20 years ago, the then rabbi of the synagogue and some of his board were able to go to Prague to purchase from the Czech government all the scrolls from Czechoslovakian synagogues, the Torah scrolls, which had somehow survived the war. And there is in the top floor of the synagogue a sofer who is busy with these 800 or 900 scrolls, bring them back into usable shape. And the purpose of this operation is to see to it that these scrolls remain alive, that the Holocaust and loyalty and commitment to the future and confidence in the survival of the Jewish people and the love of learning and the respect for the revelation, all that the scrolls represent, shall remain vital and visible to the Jewish world. When we dedicated this sanctuary some nearly 5 years ago, the congregation was able to purchase two of these scrolls, and they have been in our ark ever since. The Memorial Society was kind enough to allow me to purchase a third scroll. There are three places for scrolls in this ark. And I'd like, as a commitment to all that this scroll represents, to dedicate it tonight to our future. Rabbi Klein and Rabbi Geller have the scroll and the beautiful mantle which comes from the little town of Trebišť in Czechoslovakia. It's a town in south-central Czechoslovakia near Brno, which was the original home of this scroll. It's a very simple, tattered mantle now, dedicated in 1900 by a woman to the memory of her husband. The scroll was in use in Trebišť until 1940. When the Nazis turned Trebišť into an instant ghetto. It was one of the collection points for Czech Jews before they were shipped off to Theresienstadt and then to the death camps. It somehow survived the war, and I would like now, as my commitment to you and to the future of this congregation, and of course my lifelong commitment to all that this Torah represents, to give it to you, Jim, to our congregation. And I pray that we will all always be loyal to all the feelings that vibrate from this scroll. Thank you very much.
Rabbi, thank you on behalf of the temple for 20 good years, for the Torah, and hopefully for a good 20 more years. The temple board, in friendship and esteem, felt that a life tenure contract is nice, but we wanted you to have something a little more tangible to remember the evening by. So it's with pleasure, on behalf of the Temple Board, that I present you with a...
Very lovely watch, which I am very grateful. And I'm particularly grateful. They say that you always get a watch at retirement. I'm grateful that I'll have 20 years of happiness before I receive my next one. Thank you, Jim.
At this time, I would like to call to the podium Friede Olson, a past president of the Temple Women's Association. Friede has a presentation to make in honor of another important occasion that we're observing this evening.
This is a tough act to follow. I want to thank you, Jim, for giving me a few minutes at this very special meeting honoring Rabbi Dan to make an announcement for the Temple Women's Association. As you all know, tomorrow is Virginia Silver's 80th birthday. The Temple Women's Association wanted to do something very special for her as a token of its affection for her and appreciation and inspiration for the leadership she has given over the years. Since Virginia had let it be known for many months that she wanted no personal gifts, something for the temple seemed to be the answer. We consulted with Rabbi Dan as just what it should be, and as always, he gave us the perfect suggestion: a set of the new Judaica Encyclopedia for the Temple Branch Library. This monumental work, contributed by, they said 2,500 scholars throughout the world, and the 16 volumes of scholarship is in those books, was completed in 1971, and it is considered to be the most important Jewish publication in the 20th century. Virginia, I'm sorry I can't show it to you, but it hasn't arrived yet from the publishers. But when it does come, and when it does go into the library here at the branch, it will be inscribed, "A gift of the Temple Women's Association in honor of Virginia Silver's 80th birthday."
I really don't know whether an 80th birthday is a time for celebration or lamentation. It's no fun to grow old, but there's no way out. You have no choice. They've been wonderful years for me, and I've had many compensations. One of them was this evening, to have our beloved son selected as your rabbi for life. It's a joy that has meant a great deal to me and would have given his father infinite satisfaction. It's a pleasure for me to see so many beloved people here, people I've lived with so many years. I feel like you're all related. And I want to thank you, and I promise to read the new encyclopedia. My eyes are good enough, from A to Z. Thank you very, very much.
This has truly been a beautiful evening, but it's not over yet. A number of our temple ladies have prepared a beautiful repast for us, which will be served in both the activities room as well as the first school pod opposite the library. The Silver family and our guests will receive in the library immediately following. this program. I would like to make another announcement or two before we close. I want to thank Ruth Stern and Bubbles Whitman most heartily for the beautiful job they have done in preparing this evening for us. They were co-chairmen of the evening. I also want to call your attention, if I may, to our June 6th Israel Bond Dinner, which will take place at the main temple. The temple will be honoring Alvin and Edith Schreibman that evening, and you're all invited to come. You can make reservations for the June 6th Bond Dinner through the temple office. Now I would like to call Rabbi Geller to the podium for the benediction. Rabbi Stuart Geller.
Writing in the Talmud some 2,000 years ago, Rabbi Yossi observed that he who honors the Torah will himself be honored by mankind. We pray for God's special blessing for he who honored the Torah this night and in turn was honored by his fellow men. May God watch over him, and may God protect his mother, the true matriarch in the household of Israel, for her contributions in spirit as well as in dedication. We offer our thanks to God for all his blessings bestowed upon this congregation and upon its leaders. May we gather all the prayers we have spoken here tonight and bind them into a resolve to consecrate our lives anew to the service of God. Bo'achem l'shalom, seifchem l'shalom. As you're coming was in peace, may your going out be in peace. Amen.